Before you guys take up the offering, I just want to share a little bit about some stuff that's been going on the road. You had heard me this morning talk about, you know, all the people we see getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, all the healing testimonies. But I had one testimony that I wanted to share with you tonight, something that really just touched my heart and just really blessed Laura and I when we were at this church a while back. Last October, I was in Virginia preaching. We travel all over, and we were preaching in Virginia, and I was praying for people during the altar call, and a young man stopped me, and he said, "I want to tell you a story before you go and pray for anybody else." I said, "Well, buddy, can you wait till the end of the service?" And he says, no, I got to tell you this story now." So I let him tell me this story. He ended up telling me that he said, "You were here 13 months ago," and he said, "When you were here 13 months ago, you looked at me in the crowd, and you pointed at me and told me to come here, that you had something for me." And he said, "I got scared and ran out the back of the church and ran into the bathroom and locked myself in the bathroom." He says, "Do you remember this?" I said, I sort of do. He says, "Well, eventually," he says, "you had one of the board members come out and knock on the door and told them to have me come back out. And I refused to open up the door for them." And he said, "Do you remember any of this?" I said, "Yeah, I sort of do remember this." He says, "Well, eventually I ended up coming back into the service." And he said, and this was 13 months prior. This was 13 months before I was here the last time there at this church in October. He said, I finally came out of the bathroom. And he said, "I came up," and he said, "you looked at me and you told me that God told you to tell me this." He says, "You told me that the business that I had just started was going to take off." He says that I was going to have so much money that I was going to be able to buy a brand new truck for the business that I had started. "And you told me that I would have workers working for me, and that I would also be able to have so much money that I would be able to turn clients away." He says, "Do you remember telling me this stuff?" I said, "Yeah, I do remember telling you this." He said, "Well, I want you to know that everything that you spoke over me has came to pass." He said that I had gone and hired all these guys. I had two or three guys working for me, and he says that they're good Christian people. They really helped me out a lot. He says, "I also went and bought a brand new Dodge Ram pickup truck in cash." Now, I don't know if you know how much a Dodge Ram pickup truck would cost, but I imagine it's at least $50,000, $60,000. And he says, "I want you to see it." And he pointed out the window, and it was on the left-hand side, and I looked out the window, and it was a brand-new Dodge Ram pickup truck, and it had a magnet on the side of it with the name of his business. He'd actually started a handyman business. And he said, I got so much clientele that I'm turning people away. He says, I get calls every day, and I just tell people, I just don't have the time to do what you're asking me to do. And he says, God has just blessed this business so much. He says, "But I want you to know that everything you spoke over me came to pass." And he says, "It's blessed my life to know that God is really real in my life." He says, "I want you to know that 13 months ago, when you were here last, what you don't know is, though, I actually went in the bathroom and locked the door because I went in there to shoot up." He said that I've been on drugs. He says, you know, whatever it takes, heroin, pills, whatever. And he says, "I have not done any drugs at all in the last 13 months since you were here." And you might say, "Why are you sharing this story?" You allow me to go reach people like that. No matter where I'm going, whether I'm going to Virginia or Boston or down into North Carolina, wherever we go, you're helping me go and reach people like this. You know, whatever you sow into this ministry tonight just doesn't help me pay for my bills, pay for my car payment, my house payment, my health insurance, life insurance. It helps me get to the next place also. And we just want to thank you for sowing into this ministry. I just want to share just two more stories with you really quick. I was out in Philadelphia about a month ago, and this young boy was there, and I knew that it was him, but I didn't give the word of knowledge that I knew it was him. I wanted him to step out in faith to receive what I had. And I just said, listen, there is somebody here right now on the left side of your jaw, down on the bottom. The dentist has just gone in there, cleaned out a whole bunch of infection, and there's still infection in there, and you are still in pain with it. And I want you to know God's going to take care of that right now. This guy stands up. He looked like he saw a ghost. It's just his whole face has changed. And he's like, I can't believe that you even knew this. It's like, I don't even understand it. And after the service, this is what he told me. He said, what you spoke into my life made me realize that God was real. I'm done playing church. He says, I'm done playing. I know that God is real. And I know that he loves me. I know he cares about me. And I know that he even wants to take care of an infection inside my jawbone because he spoke through you to tell me. See, wherever we go, we get to see stuff like this all the time. We see people's lives impacted, people's lives changed, all because of people coming together and meeting with us and believing in what we're doing and sending us off to go do the next thing. Amen. So, hey, listen, I just want to thank you for sowing into us tonight. And I want to thank Pastor Sam for having us. It's always a blast being with you, buddy. It really is. I told your pastor driving up here tonight, I said, we always appreciate when we get to meet down-to-earth people, you know, and can't say that that happens all the time. Amen. So we just want to thank you for having us, and you guys can go ahead and take up the offering. Thank you. Ever since I got started in ministry, I've always felt God speak to me, and he said that if I don't give you a message to give to the people, there's no reason for you to even preach. If you just get up and just preach something you heard somebody else preach, what good is that? What good will that be to the people? And this message that I'm bringing to you tonight is something God laid on my heart. I believe that the whole church needs to hear it. The whole body of Christ needs to hear this tonight. And really, I'm not even going to be preaching a whole lot. I'm just going to give you what God's laid on my heart. And about maybe a month ago, God laid this on my heart about valuing a move of God. Valuing a move of God. How often do we see God come in and begin the move? Like what we saw here this morning. He began the move and people were entering in. They were praising God and they were entering in, there is that anticipation of wanting more of God. Now, some people might have said, well, that was enough for me, and I didn't come back tonight, right? Because there's people who didn't come back tonight, right? And what it takes is sometimes we can say we value God. Do we really value a move of God? Do we really value when God shows up and begins to move? Whether it's in healings, and manifestations, and deliverances, whatever it may be, do we value when God shows up and begins to move? Because I want to tell you, it's your response and how you show up that will determine whether you value a move of God or not. I'll tell you what, I've been in churches that have ran 500 people, and I'd be lucky if 12 people showed back up that night. That's pretty pitiful. And it's because we act like we're so busy. What are we busy to do, though? Let's be honest. What are we so busy to do that we can't come and wait upon God and value what he's really going to do? Do we really value when God begins to move? You know, I remember probably about 5 years ago, one of the largest churches I've ever preached in, it ran 1,200 people. 1,200 people, and I went to go give the altar call. This is no lie. This is, Pastor Sam, this is the only time this has ever happened to me in my whole life, in my whole ministry. I gave an altar call at a congregation of around 1,200 people. And when I gave that altar call, I saw the masses almost like herd outside the back doors. There was three large back doors, and they just herded out the back door as I gave the altar call. By the time it was all over with, there was only 10 people at the altar. 10 people out of 1,200. Is that not insane or what? That shows you that they didn't value a move of God. They were valuing their time. They were valuing that it was 12 o'clock and it was time to get out the door and go do what I want to do. Well, it's me time. It's my time. And they just went and they just did. They probably went out to lunch. They probably went over to their sister's house. They went everywhere and did everything and anything except get around the altar to wait to see what God would do. When you're willing not to rush out so quickly, you value a move of God. When you're not in such a hurry to see, you know, the clock and see if Pastor Sam's going to get done by 12 o'clock. I don't know what kind of preacher Pastor Sam is. I don't know if he preaches past 12 or not. Do you? Sometimes. Listen, this should tell you next time Pastor Sam goes after 12, you better not be looking at your clock. Because God might be up to something. Amen? Listen, do we value when God shows up? Do we value a move of God, or do we value more of what we want in our timing and how we want to do things? Amen? Listen, do we value when the winds of the Spirit pick up in our services? Listen, I want to tell you this morning, I watched every one of you, and you valued God showing up this morning around this altar. You valued when the Spirit of God began to pick up and the Spirit started moving and you didn't shut it down. That's how you know you value a move of God, when you don't want to shut down what God is doing. Amen? Listen, my wife and I, we have seen people who have had back braces on, who could not move, instantly healed. Actually, one time, Laura and I, we were at a picnic one time. It was a family reunion. And my aunt went and told one of her cousins, who told one of their cousins, that you got to come and have Jason pray for you because he's a healing evangelist and all this. And they said, okay. And they asked me, would you come over and pray for this person? I said, yeah. And I guess I wasn't getting there quick enough because I was talking to somebody. So they actually brought the person over to me. And they were in a car crash, and they were paralyzed from the waist down and had no movement. We started praying for this person. They got up out of the wheelchair, and they started taking baby steps like this. And then they started walking. And all of a sudden, they stopped right there. I said, oh, no. I'm gonna lose my SSI check. See, they valued something else over God actually healing them. I found out that person was right back in that wheelchair, couldn't move again. See, do you value when God actually does something in your life that powerful? That will determine whether you really value a move of God. I want to tell you, just a few months back, I was healed of something that the doctor said was incurable and you couldn't get rid of. I had something called Barrett's esophagus. It's the beginning stages of pre-cancer in the esophagus. They tell you there's no cure. It doesn't go away. It doesn't reverse itself. There's no medication really for it. Except, you know, stomach blockers that stop the acid. But other than that, it doesn't go away. And they tell you that all the time. You can do research online. It doesn't go away. You have this for the rest of your life. I went in and they said it's completely gone. We can't find it. But they said, now medically we have to tell you it doesn't go away. And they have to cover their butts. They said, medically, this is impossible. This doesn't go away, but we can't find it. I want to tell you, I've been valuing what God's been doing in my life. I value when God shows up and does something on my behalf. And listen, there will be times when God will show up and you will either value what God does or you won't value it. How you react to God doing something in your life will show whether you value a move of God. You value God moving in your life. Amen? I remember my wife and I, we've been in church services where we've seen people divinely healed, just instantly healed. And people just standing around staring like it was no big deal. No big deal, like they could care less. And I think to myself, that shows right there you don't value a move of God. When you see somebody who is completely blind and their eyes are open up and you don't care. I one time saw a guy who was deaf. And I knew he was deaf because I looked right at him. I asked him to repeat after me, say this with me. By his stripes you are healed. What? Say this with me. By his stripes I am healed. Huh? And he just kept on saying that. And the pastor looked at me and said, oh, I forgot to tell you, he's deaf. And I just put my hands on him and started praying for him. His ears opened up like that. He could repeat everything back to me. I was standing probably about 20 feet away from him, whispering to him, and he could hear what I was saying. And everybody else was watching, just looking around. Just like, so what? What's the big deal? He can hear now. I'm thinking to myself, there should be some kind of excitement. See, when we really value a move of God, there will be an excitement, you know? I think about the man who was healed. What was it? You know, it says that he followed Jesus around leaping and jumping and everybody was telling him to shut up. You remember that story? I see that when we really value a move of God, when we really value what God is doing in our midst, whether it's individually in our lives or in our church or in our community, we will get excited. There will be some kind of excitement in our lives showing that we value that God showed up and did something. My friends, do you value a move of God? Let me ask you a question. If I came and I gave you a dollar bill, and then I gave you four quarters, what would you rather have? Huh? Well, you had the chance of having either or. What would you rather have, four quarters or a dollar bill? Most people would say a dollar, right? But some people would take the change because they may need it. But they mean the same thing, don't they? See, sometimes it's our perspective on how we see things. Now, if I was to go to a grocery store and I wanted to pay for something that would cost $5, I had a $5 bill and I had 500 pennies, what do you think that they're going to want more of? A $5 bill. But there is no difference between the $5 bill and the 500 pennies. It's your perspective. And here's the thing I want to ask you. What is your perspective on valuing a move of God? Do you have a perspective? Because sometimes God will show up and it might look different than it did the other times, but it doesn't mean anything. God just moved differently. Sometimes I know people will say, well, I'll be in churches where I'll watch a worship leader and they'll sing the same chorus 20 times because God moved the second time on that chorus. And they'll sing that chorus over. Have you ever seen that, Pastor Stan? And here's what happens is the difference is that God moved that one time on that chorus, but doesn't mean that he's going to move that same way all the time. See, God will never move the same way all the time. He's not going to always move the same way all the time. There is times where I'll be in a service and I'll think, oh, God's going to go this way, and he goes a totally different direction. Right? I was telling Pastor Sam this today when we went back to his house. I don't know why this is, but when I go into churches that run 250, it seems like clockwork. It always happens this way. I'll go in and I'll start praying for people and people get laid out in the Spirit of God all over the place. I don't know why that happens. Sometimes I'll go somewhere and it doesn't happen at all. Why does God move like that? I don't know, but I value when he shows up like that. I value when God begins to move like that. I was in a church about 3 years ago, and I just allowed an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to begin to move. And what ended up happening was there was a young lady, probably about 19. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit that morning, right on this side of the church. And about 10, 15 minutes later, she gave a message in tongues. And an older lady across the room on this side gave the interpretation. And after that was all done and over with, I looked at the pastor and his mouth was on the floor. And I said, "What's wrong?" He says, "This is the first time it's ever happened in 10 years. Well, somewhere along the line, they stopped valuing God moving like that. Or maybe they just didn't know how to get God to move. I don't know what the situation was. But when stuff like that starts happening, you should value God moving like that. I hate to tell you what that pastor ended up telling me after the service. And I'm going to tell you what he said to me anyways. He said, "Give me a call back in 5 years. You know, God shows up. You see God show up. But you didn't value seeing him ever show up like that again. Call me back in 5 years." See, sometimes we have to understand that if we're going to value a move of God, we have to continually letting God move like that. Sometimes the reason why churches never see a move of God is because they don't want to keep the flow going. And that's what we have. That's what we have going on in most of our churches nowadays. We have a lot of hype. Not this church. This church wants to see a move of God. But there's a lot of churches that want hype. They want the best and the greatest things. You know, they want laser light shows and all this. And they are completely drowning out the Holy Spirit from even being allowed to move. The one thing I love about Living Manna is that I don't think you guys are ever going to get to that point of where you want more of that garbage that's going on today in the churches. I think that's the reason why Pastor Sam, you are able to see a move of God. That's why God is able to move here, because there's no time frame. We're just going to let God move. You allow God to move. And when you allow God to move, he'll move. That's another thing. That shows you that you really value a move of God when you allow God to move. There's a lot of churches that don't allow God to move, and that's why you can tell they don't value, because they don't let him move. You know, I think that if we would just get to the point of letting God move, we would see him move more. But sometimes the problem is I think in our busyness, in our everyday life, in our everyday situation, we get caught up in the things of this world and it allows us not to value a move of God. I'm going to get that in a few minutes here. A few years back, my father-in-law, Laura's father, he tunes pianos for a living. And he's done that for all of his life. He's tuned pianos all of his life. He'll go into a person's house and tune pianos. He'll go to Christian schools. He'll go to churches. He goes everywhere and he tunes pianos for a living. He's been doing it for the last 40 years. 40 years, huh? About that. And this is all he's ever done. It was passed on to him by his father. His father did it. And he took over the business when his dad died, and he continued to do it. But one day my father-in-law, he told me a story. I'm very close with my father-in-law. He told me a story one day. And it stuck with me. Him and I, we've talked about this many times. He had gone to a Christian school one day. And he was at this Christian school prior, a year ago, before this time. And when he walked down the hallways to tune the piano in the music room, he saw a stack of books on the floor about that high. And they were, you could tell they were really old. And they were old and they were dusty and they were just sitting there. And he went back a year later and those books were still sitting in the same spot. So he went into the principal's office of the Christian school and he said, "Hey, I want to ask you, the last time I was here, those books were sitting out there. What are you going to do with it?" My father-in-law already knew what they were. He had opened them up. They were Matthew Henry commentaries, originals, from back in the 1800s. Now, if you know anything about Matthew Henry, he was a great commentator from back in the 1800s. And the date was inside, I think it said like 1859 or something like that. And there was actually an old King James Bible that was there too with the Apocrypha in it. That's back in the day when they still put the Apocrypha. Anybody who was Catholic in here before, anybody in here was previously Catholic, you know what the Apocrypha was. It was in there. And then in King James ended up taking it out by the 1900s. So this Bible still had that in there. And there was three commentaries, one Bible. And he asked the principal, what are you going to do with these? He says, well, I'll tell you what happened. This lady had came by and he said she had dropped these off to us. And she dropped them off maybe about 5 years ago and they've just sat there since then. Because nowadays, you know, we got computers and stuff like that. And what use do we have to put those in our library? You know, they're all old and kids aren't going to want to look through those and stuff like that. So we just let them sit out there. And my father-in-law went and picked he says, well, can I have them? He says, sure thing, you can have those. And he picked up those books and he brought them back to the house. Him and I looked through them. The pages were just immaculate. They were in such good shape for being over 100 years old, probably. And he had those for probably about a year, year and a half. And then one day he went to a guy who was a book collector, bookseller. And my father-in-law knew that in the condition they were in, that they would probably be a pretty penny. He ended up taking them to this guy, and he ended up getting close to $700 to $800. For all those books. Something that somebody else saw no value in. They were actually talking about even throwing them out. Because they didn't see the value in something. But my father-in-law saw the value in those books. See, sometimes I think we think that something is old, it's beat up, it's discarded, it can't be used anymore. I feel sometimes that's the way we feel about Pentecost. Come on now. Hello? Oh, that's what they used to do back in the day. We don't do that anymore. It's because we don't value a move of God. We don't value when God shows up. We don't value that God really can show up and start doing something. You know, just like with my father-in-law with those books, he valued. See, that school, that principal didn't value those books at all. They didn't see the value in them, Pastor Sam. But my father-in-law saw the value in those books. He saw the value in them. And he knew that they would be worth something. My friends, I want to ask you, who are you in this story? Are you the one that values something that nobody else sees value in? Do you value a move of God? Do you value when God shows up? Do you take value in God moving in your life? Amen. Listen, I told God, I said, Lord, I don't know how to preach this message. I don't even know, you know, I feel that I need to have some kind of scripture to back up what I'm saying. And I tried to think in the Bible, Pastor Sam, where in the world was there ever a place that anybody ever valued a move of God? And I couldn't think of anything. And then God started laying all these scripture verses on my heart. How many know if you just wait around long enough, God will start putting stuff on your heart to line up what he's telling you to speak? So go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and take a look at verse 6. It says, after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. Now, in this story over here in 1 Corinthians, this story is talking about the day Jesus had died already. He had rose from the grave. And he showed himself to 500 individuals. 500 individuals after his death. This was during the 40-day period before Pentecost, before even Pentecost came. This was during the 40 days before his ascension into heaven. And it says that 500 people witnessed Jesus there. And not only did they witness him, not only did they see him, but during this time, he told them to go do something. He told them to go do something. He told them to go wait for something. Let's go ahead and take a look at the next verse we're going to look at. We were in front. Now, how many people did Jesus show himself to before he died and when he died and was ascended? How many? 500. Remember that number. We're going to do some math. Now, I don't want to jump over to Matthew 28 because it's too long. But we are going to jump over to Acts chapter 1, 8 and put your finger there. But over in Matthew 28, though, Jesus shows himself. He reveals himself to many people after he died and was rose again. And revealed himself and showed himself. And he told them to go wait. Go wait for the promise of the what? The Holy Spirit. Now take a look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What's it say? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, from the point of the 500 people and Matthew 28, this all runs into Acts chapter 1, verse 8 here. And he's telling these 500 people, go and wait for something. Go wait for the promise. Go wait for the Holy Spirit to show up. Now, what do you think happens here? If you've been in Pentecost any time, you're going to know what happens. He tells them to go wait for something, doesn't he? Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 15. Just jump down real quick. We were in verse 8. Just look at verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of those disciples all together. The number of names was about 120. How many were there on the day of Pentecost? How many? Nope, not on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, there was 120. Now, you have to understand, this is 40 days later. 50 days later, actually. Well, no, actually, it would be 10 days later. Jesus ascended on 40 days. And then 10 days later, they only had to wait 10 days, didn't they, Pastor? Just 10 days to see what Jesus would promise them. That's all they had to do. They only had to wait 10 days. And they couldn't do it. Here it says that on the day of Pentecost, look what happened. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples all together, and the number of names was about 120. Now, how many are good with math? You good with math? There's 120 there, and just 10 days prior, there was 500 there. How many were missing? 380 people were missing. 380 people were missing because they couldn't stand and wait around for 10 days to see what was going to happen. They couldn't wait for the Holy Spirit to show up. If they would have waited, they would have been able to see 3,000 people get saved on the day of Pentecost. They would have been able to see the next day Peter and James walking into the temple and raising a crippled man up from his feet. They had no time for it. They couldn't wait around to see God move. I want to tell you, my friends, it needs to come to a point where we stop worrying about what we want, what we need. I'm sure that these people, these 500 people were there and they heard Jesus talking. They heard him speaking, Pastor Sam. But they decided they had to go do something else. They had to go back to their own villages. They had to go back to their own town. They had to go do something else. They couldn't wait 10 days for the Holy Spirit to show up and to begin the move in power. They had other stuff to do. They had better stuff to do than that. Listen, I want to tell you, for some reason, and I don't know why this is, but the majority of the people who should be there will never be there. When it comes time for God to move, God will start moving, but the people who are supposed to be there will never be there. How often do we actually see that? I see that all the time. I'll see God move on somebody on Sunday morning, and God really do something awesome in their life, and then Sunday night show up, and they didn't show back up. Because they didn't value what God did in their life that morning. They didn't value what God was doing. And these 380 people, they didn't value God showing up that day. They didn't value seeing a move of God. I want to tell you, there will always be a core group of people. Pastor Sam, isn't this true? There will always be a core group of people that will show back up. Guess what? You're the 120 tonight. You're part of the 120 who are willing to see God move. You're part of what you want to see. You value seeing a move of God. That is the only reason you're here tonight, is because you valued what God did here this morning. You value seeing God move. You value seeing a move of God. And we all know what Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says. It says, on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit came and He filled everybody, and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, there was a move of God happened. The Spirit of God showed up. I love what it says. It says, actually, let's go ahead and read it all together out loud. Go ahead to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one place in one accord. How many know that the Holy Spirit can't move when there's chaos and when there's dissension? Come on, there has to be unity. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. I would say that sounds like a move of God to me, right? A rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Listen, that 120 valued God, and they got to see God move. They got to see God move on the day of Pentecost because they were willing to watch and wait and expect the move of God. They value what Jesus told them to go do. Let me ask you something. Do you value what Jesus tells you to do? Do you value when God... let me ask you this. When Pastor Sam says, hey, we got an evangelist coming in, be here tonight. You valued coming here to see what God would do tonight, amen? And let me tell you something. You will always be part of the 120 who value a move of God. Listen, other people might not value it, but do you value it? Don't worry about them. Worry about yourself. You are here tonight, and because you're here tonight, it shows that you value God moving. And I want to tell you, wherever somebody goes who values a move of God, God will show up and He will begin to move. But if you don't value it, He won't move. See, we're here tonight because we value a move of God. I remember a few years back, I was pastoring a church. It's the last church I had pastored, thank God. And the church was running about 220, 225, 225. And that's what we were running on a Sunday morning, was 200, 225 people. In the evening on Sunday night, we would run about 75 to 100. That's almost unheard of. I go into churches on Sunday night, and I'm lucky if we can get 50 people sometimes. But the last church I had pastored, there were 75, 100 people coming. And on Sunday nights, we were seeing revival. I wouldn't even get up to preach. It would just be 3 hours of God just moving. That was it. Now, on Wednesday night, I'd get 8 people out. I don't know why that was, but that's all that would come out. But on Sunday night, we were seeing God move. He was moving mightily. He was moving powerfully. And one night after one of the services, this little old lady who was part of the church, who was like pretty much there since the beginning, she walked up to me and she said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. I was part of God moving back in the day, but God never moved past 10:30. Do you think we could take these Sunday night services to where they don't have to go past 10:30? She says, now listen, I was back in the old days. I remember seeing God move, but he never moved past 10:30. And she was wanting me to stop the services early. Because honestly, we'd get started at 7 o'clock. We'd still be going 10:30, 11 o'clock. If he was still moving, we were going to let him move. And she's like, can you please, you know, like 10:30, you know, that would be great. And I was thinking to myself, evidently, you must not remember when God really moved, because you wouldn't be worried about the time. And sometimes that's what we have to understand. If we really value a move of God, we're going to not worry about the time. We're not going to worry about anything like that. I remember I was preaching in a church down in Virginia, pretty close to Virginia Beach. And this story just captivated me when somebody told me this. They said that they had had such a move of God down there that the church was, actually, their original sanctuary was probably no bigger than this room, their original sanctuary. They're in a bigger sanctuary now. Their original sanctuary was about this size, which is now is the youth room. And they said that they had had such moves of God back in the 30s that there wasn't enough room, enough space. There was people standing in the church. The seats were all taken up. People were down the aisles standing, and they had to be breaking fire codes. Actually, back then, I don't even know if there was fire codes, but they had to be breaking fire codes, okay? And they told me that they had no room inside the church. They would have to open up all the windows, and there would be a circle of people around the church also trying to hear what was going on the inside of the church. And they said that that would go on. They'd get started at 6 o'clock at night, and it would go on till 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. Just having church, just God moving. And they had told me that one night this was happening, that somebody down the road called up and said, that church down the road on, here's the funny thing, the road was actually called Fire Tower Road. They had a big tower of water where they would use to be able to put out fires. So it was on Fire Tower Road. They said, that church down there on Fire Tower Road is on fire. They said they literally saw, there was families, there were like two families, and they all called the fire station, I guess. All these people around in their houses said that that church was on fire. They literally saw flames coming off the roof, they said. They said when they finally got down there, the fire station finally got down there, there was no fire. All they saw was a bunch of crazy people inside and on the outside yelling and shouting and carrying on. But I think to myself sometimes, my friends, man, I would love to see something like that nowadays. Where can we find enough people that could value a move of God, though, to do something like that? I'll tell you where it starts. It starts with you who are here tonight. I think if we just had enough desire, just enough spark to see God move like that, he could. I want to tell you, my friends, God is sovereign. He can move however he wants. But when you really value God moving, when you really value a move of God, I think you'll start seeing stuff like that. And I think sometimes the reason churches don't see it is because they're not valuing it. But once you start valuing it, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to see stuff like that all the time. And I was talking to Pastor Sam today. I was talking about how we were gathered around the altar and stuff like that. And I was telling him that I was at a church not too long ago. And the pastor had asked me, he says, well, you leave this week, how do I keep up what you did here? And I said, well, first thing is don't try to imitate me. Just let God move. Here's the thing. I'm going to leave here. You guys got to pick up and carry on what God does here. Amen? And here's the thing. You can't mimic anything. You don't muster anything up. You just let God move. That's it. You just let God move. And he'll move if you are earnestly and eagerly desiring to see him. You don't have to muster nothing up. You don't have to expect anything. God will just move when you value seeing him move. You know, I think about about the blind man who came to Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, if you're willing, you know, you can make me see." He valued knowing that God could do it for him. Do you value knowing that God could do this for you? That he could strike up something and begin to move. Amen. I value that. Amen. Do you value a move of God? Listen, I'm going to ask Laura to come to the piano tonight. And I'm going to ask you tonight just to stand to your feet and begin to worship him right now. How good you are, Lord. Hey, babe, the more I seek you. Yeah, maybe not. Do something along this line. I want to ask you, somebody that's really vocal right now, somebody that's real vocal here, would you just cry out and ask God to begin to move? Go ahead. Go ahead. Just cry out to him. Just get vocal about it. Just tell him, God, we want to see you. Show us your might. Show us your power. Show us your glory. La yelena yeseta dieta na mokayete. Look how quickly God starts to move right there. When people are hungry, when people are thirsty, he begins moving. Look at that. Go ahead. Keep it up. There it is. Go ahead. Come on, just tell him, Lord, I value a move of you. I value a move of God. I value seeing your power, your mercy, your grace in my life. There it is. Go ahead. Don't stop. Cry out. Come on, somebody else who is vocal, go ahead. I want you to cry out over your community. I want you to cry over the school system. Go ahead.